Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're going to talk about the annual North American International Auto Show, which is usually full of lots of pomp and circumstance and flashing lights and big stars and all kinds of things. Not so much this year. Lawrence Ulrich is joining us from Detroit. He is a Detroit native and contributor to the New York Times. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning.
So there's a lot of empty spaces there at the auto show?
You know, not so much. There's been a few major pullouts. Nissan decided not to make an appearance this year. I think they've just kind of rearranged the furniture basically to make it look essentially the same. But you know, the theme has definitely changed. You know, instead of the big displays of, you know, testosterone and horsepower, you know, this show, I guess the theme is Detroit's last stand, and the whole show is about them, you know, paying penance and, you know, showing that they're putting their bailout money to good use and that they've got the technology and that they're going to get back in the game.
And how are they showing penance? What kinds of cars? Would it be fair to call it the green year of the auto show?
Oh, absolutely. It's just been a green wave and everyone's riding it. You know, every single major automaker now at this show has now committed to delivering either plug-in hybrids or even pure 100% electric vehicles to dealerships by 2010 or 2011. We're talking GM, Ford, Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota. Everyone is going to actually finally see whether electric cars are ready for Americans and ready for prime time.
So they're laying all of this out. Is there any buzz behind any one particular car? And when are they talking about actually getting these on the road?
But there's so many that it's hard to keep them all straight. The Honda Insight we're seeing at the show is going to be the most inexpensive hybrid in America, under $20,000. The heavyweight of them all, of course, the Prius, as the latest generation of the Prius is being shown here. And then, for of course, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler showed a small, the 200C, a concept electric vehicle. And Ford is determined to, has committed to doing either plug-ins or EVs in a whole range of mostly small cars and small crossovers in the next couple of years.
It's interesting. You say that Nissan pulled out, then Mitsubishi, and also Ferrari. Those are all foreign car makers. But there's also been lots of rumors about Chinese automakers. What are those?
Absolutely. You know, the Chinese have been kind of testing the waters and showing some cars over the last few years. To tell the truth, almost all of them remain too primitive to make safety or emission standards in the United States. They're going to be a few years away from really denting this market. The most likely scenario for them to enter is if one of the big three, perhaps Chrysler, was ever broken up or sold, that buying an established brand like that would be their quickest way to enter the U.S. market.
You know, though, I mean, if you look at Toyota's sales, they're pretty scary. It's not as though the Prius is necessarily going to, you know, lead everybody happily out of this wilderness.
Oh, absolutely not. And here's what's going on. I mean, when gas dipped below $2 a gallon, even Prius sales have fallen apart. And the executives are really noting this stuff. I was talking to GM Vice Chairman Bob Lutz yesterday. You know, they're, you know, big profile car czar, and he was saying that, you know, this is doing them no favors. And he said, you know, every 6 months we get called stupid for not having the right products. But they can't, and when gas prices are going to swing this wildly, it's impossible for any of them to anticipate where this is going. And that's the big issue for these electric cars. They're going to cost a lot more than conventional cars, just as hybrids do now. The lithium-ion batteries that are going to power this generation of vehicles are extremely expensive. So these vehicles are going to sell in small numbers at first because, especially in this economic climate, everyone is just counting pennies, and people who are in that mode are maybe not exactly ready to spend an extra $5,000 on a car with you know, new and untested technology.
Well, Lawrence, let's talk about Detroit. I mean, how important is this show? It's usually the biggest event in the city on the calendar. How important is this show for a city really under siege from so many different sources?
It's critical from a publicity standpoint. We have to remember, though, that, you know, there's several auto shows every year. A mistake sometimes people make is looking at one auto show and calling that a referendum, you know, on the industry. It's really just it's a snapshot of what's going on. You know, think of it as like spring training for baseball. You see the prospects, you know, then that are going to be taking the field in coming years. But it's sometimes hard to predict what that means for individual companies. But no doubt about it, every eye is on them. The, you know, Washington is definitely sniffing around, making sure that, you know, this money is spent. And the PR wars are very important. Toyota, of course, has brilliantly, you know, cast themselves as the green company. And even companies that have good competing technology are kind of lost in the shuffle. Ford showed the new Fusion Hybrid here that's going on sale in spring, an absolutely critical car for them. The EPA just rated this car at 41 miles per gallon city. The Toyota Camry Hybrid gets only 33 miles per gallon city, so it's a huge mileage edge over, you know, the person you would consider the king of the hybrid realm. And it's looking like a good effort all around, good styling, good design, and a good powertrain. And that goes on sale in just about another month or two.
Well, it sounds like they got some work then to do to get that message out to potential consumers.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, 20 years of breaking hearts, you know, and breaking promises, you know, to a lot of people. You know, once people have defected, you know, to an Asian car and it works really well, you know, you might have lost a customer. You know, these guys lost generations of customers, you know, and once you've, you know, have your reputation dented like that, you know, repairing it is just this long time effort. You know, sometimes I think these guys could do, you know, brilliant cars all across the board, and to some buyers it really wouldn't matter because they've like frittered away their leadership for so long.
Last quick question before we go. You said this is a snapshot of how the industry is doing. It's really more than that, though, for some of these automakers, isn't it? I mean, it's really do or die this year for some of them.
Absolutely. They definitely need to roll out products and roll them out quickly. The cavalry, you know, can't arrive soon enough. So they need to tell people again that they're back in the game, that they do have the technology, they do have the quality, and they need to hit home runs. But, you know, just singles and doubles aren't enough for these guys. These guys have to come up with the kind of, you know, slam bang hits, you know, that make people get back in the dealership. And it, you know, obviously couldn't come at a worse time in the economy right now.
No question. Lawrence Ulrich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.